Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. I got to get the busyness of the day off me. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've gathered us together. I thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and you are our victor. Everything we need, everything that we desire, every battle that we face, every sin that so besets us, Lord, we have overcome because you have overcome. We thank you for that simple truth of holiness and righteousness that exists in your name alone. So, Lord, as you've gathered us together by your Holy Spirit to hear your word, Lord, I ask that you put spiritual thoughts, put spiritual words to spiritual thoughts, and, Lord, just shake the busyness of the day off all of us so that we can have ears to hear and hearts to absorb what you have for us this evening. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, I was in Biolabatry 3 hours ago, and I got a call from the bishop an hour before that. He said, you're preaching tonight. I said, okay, awesome. He said, you have a word? I said, well, because of who I am in Christ, Jesus has a word, and I'll sit still now in my office and listen. So thanks be to God. He spoke, I heard, and gave me a revelation that I thought was like, it's really fun, you know, when I get these opportunities like this. It's just as he opens up the scripture, so he teaches me. And so I'm happy and excited to share this with you. It's so simple, but it's so revelatory. And prophetically, as part of the revival that already exists here in Selma, is something that we're going to start seeing. So I'm excited to share this with you. And it goes back, we can start off in Amos chapter 3, verse 7. You all know this scripture. Boy, oh boy, listen to that. Did you just hear that? Now there's Alabama anointing. You all know the scripture. I'll tell you. Amos 3, verse 7. Oh, man. I've really been Alabamanized. I now say y'all, and my truck, man, I didn't know there were so many bugs in the state of Alabama. I got love bugs all over my truck. I sent a text or an email to my boss in Biolabatry. I said, man, these bugs, they love Jeeps. He says, yeah, they love any kind of truck, car, and if you're really brave, stick your head out the window and see what happens. So anyway, love bugs. I've been baptized. Baptismo and love bugs. For the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals instruction to His servants, the prophets. And so as driving home, the Lord just by the Holy Spirit brought this, and I asked Rosemary, I said, where does it say this? And so she gave me the scripture, and the Holy Spirit brought it up in my heart because it ties into what I want to share with you tonight that was exciting for me, and hopefully it is for you as well, to hear what the Lord has to say to us. And again, prophetically, I believe it's something, a manifestation of a revival that is just part of a revival. It's part of what God's going to do, and it's part of what, as we talked a couple of weeks ago, or last two times I spoke, we talked about the groanings that we can have deep within the Spirit, Romans 8:26. And these groanings, that just as Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and said he groaned within himself, those deep groanings of the Spirit, and that are too hard to put into words. And we can have those momentary times where, and as we talked about, where we just, when we feel that groaning coming on, those that deep groaning within us of the Holy Spirit, how we just, you know, sink into that position, that resting position to hear what God wants to hear. But what the Lord showed me today, what the Holy Spirit showed me today was like really cool. Because it says that God reveals instruction. And so oftentimes we can get on a one-way street. And as I said, in terms of the revival here that's already exists in Selma, I believe these groanings that are too deep for words is that instruction and that revelation that will come can come through a number of ways. Just as in the book of Acts, in Acts 2, they were filled with the Spirit and they prophesied and they spoke in tongues. Well, in Acts 4, they were filled again with the Spirit, but they didn't prophesy. It says the building they were in shook. And if you go through the book of Acts, in each one of the cases where you had an infilling or a refilling of the Holy Spirit, is that they weren't all the same. You can look in Acts 8, you can look in Acts 19, they're all different. So I think the thing that God is saying is that, you know, you got to really, church, you got to like stop putting me in a box. I don't operate out of a box. I like stables, but, you know, don't expect that I'm going to do things the same way. I like diversity. I like to do things my way. And I can do it my way because I'm God. And so I think as I began to ponder all this and think about this, he says he reveals his instructions to his servants, the prophet. But he reveals. And how else? Okay, we can always say, okay, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, he will remind you of those things that I've said and those things yet to come. And yet, if you go, and we're going to go to the book of Daniel in a moment, we're going to see another way in which I myself have limited the Lord and not expected him to move in another dynamic in terms of revealing his instructions to first his prophets. And now we're a prophetic church and we have a prophetic call on us. I think there's a prophetic call in the city of Selma. And so while I believe there's going to be an increase of this kind of revelation is because, first of all, God says he only reveals it first to his prophets. But in the revealing, he's taking us out of a box and he's allowing us to see that he's going to start increasing his diversity in revelation. In no way does it diminish the work of the Holy Spirit. In every way, it just accentuates the kingdom of God, of which there's many dynamics. And so the revelation, turn them with me then to Daniel 10. And this is the thing that God showed me today. It's like kind of really cool. When Daniel 10, we have, and as you can see where I'm going with this, we have the outline of Daniel's encounter with an angel. And Daniel 10, and just to give you an overview of this area of Scripture, he has an angelic encounter. It's a 1 through 11. And it's in the context of the fourth vision that he receives. In verses 4 through 6, we get a description of the mighty angel that comes to him. And then in verses 7 to 9, we have the angel's impact on Daniel. And in verses 10 to 14, the angel's conflict is related to Daniel in prayer. In verses 15 to 19, Daniel was given divine strength. And in verses 10, or chapter 10, verse 20 through 11, chapter 1, the angel reveals his continued conflict. And so it's like really cool. So I said, what are you saying here, Lord? And so as it goes on, we know it's Daniel 10, in the context of Daniel receiving his fourth vision. It's the longest and most detailed prophecy in the Bible. It gives insight into the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is simply anybody that doesn't believe in Jesus. Political decisions, religious attitudes, military activities, as well as the Great Tribulation that is not, it's a future time event, it's also an everyday event. We all get tribulized every day because we live in a fallen world. And so it's also a detailed prophecy about Israel's eventual deliverance, where every mouth will confess and every knee will bow to him who is Yeshua, Jesus. Amen? So Daniel 10 also gives us insight into what happens in the spiritual realm when we pray. It reveals the conflict in the spirit between high-ranking angels and demons that is manifest and eventually manifests in earthly fears, spheres. The angelic and demonic authority structures, and we know this, we hear it all the time in terms of mapping out a city, that there's structures, demonic and angelic structures, over each and every city and nation. Now, it's interesting, when I first came here, and my experience with the angelic host, that part of the kingdom of God, as they're ministering to us, is when I first came here, I would see these flashes of glints. And I thought I was having high blood pressure issues, because that's one of the things that you can have if your blood pressure is starting to creep up, is you can have like these, like you're seeing stars. And what I found out, and my blood pressure was okay, because, when I was like really heavy, it was 130 over 90. And since I lost 100 pounds, now I'm like 110 over 70. So I knew it wasn't my blood pressure. And then as the Holy Spirit started to speak to me, and I think it was at that time where the Lord was training me up. He in those things that would eventually impact my walk with Him and my ministry to Him and to His people. And that was... He said what it was, and what I came to understand was I was seeing glints off swords, angel swords, and they were warring angels. And I understood that to be from the battle that I had been in since really 1999, when on February 22nd I was ordained a deacon in God's One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And man, did the target go on and the baloney hit the wall? It came fast and heavy. I got a prophetic word that said, enjoy this day because tomorrow the war begins. And it was a true word, like for 7 years we walked through a really holy time. And so there's the angelic and demonic authority over each city and nation. We see it reveals political leaders. It gives a face to evil, as we've seen recently, and it influences governmental structure. Anybody see that dude in Syria cutting open a belly of an enemy and eating his liver? Demonic influence. And it's affected either angelically, God's angels, or Satan's angels. And so the result of this conflict affects decisions, it affects cultures, and it affects cities and nations of the earth, as we've seen, as we see every day, the madness that's around us. But we're reminded in Ephesians 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts in heavenly places. So, when I had an interesting occurrence happen one time where I was driving back from a really anointed priest conference. And as I'm driving back, I had Rosemary and the kids in the car, and I was driving an SUV. I don't know, I did probably something stupid. But it was a really anointed time, and needless to say, I woke up the demon that was driving that truck. Because here I am going down, and next thing I know, this truck is like 2 inches from my back bumper. So I thought, well, let's do the really smart thing. Instead of pulling over to the side of the road and let the dude go on, I decided to speed up. Well, next thing I know, I got a 50-foot tractor trailer hammering down the road on my tail at 90 miles an hour. They're all around us. So, conflict, everyday life. But it wasn't the dude driving the truck, man. It was what was plaguing him. And so, as we are in Christ, we have been given the authority over this, but also as representative of the kingdom of God, the whole sphere, and not putting God in a box, What we're going through here in Daniel, and I believe the Lord is saying, is that we can expect, as it's been, and as I begin to reflect, and even now Revelation's coming, is through my journey getting to this point, getting to Selma, Alabama, the increased level of angelic visitation and revelation that's going to come as we walk in a prophetic time, as we walk in a prophetic church, as we walk in a prophetic city. And so just as Daniel was impacted, so we will be too. Let's just pick up what he's saying here, verse 10, or chapter 1, verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 1. In the year of Cyrus, king of the Persians, a word was revealed to Daniel. So here we have a word that's being coming by revelation to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. And that was his pagan name that was given to him when he was went into captivity with his brothers, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And the word was true, and great power and understanding were given to him in a vision. Okay, so right away, the Holy Spirit is saying that a word was given, it was true. A word was given, and it had great power associated with the word. And understanding was also given to this word that had great power. And it was given to him in a vision. And so in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. Now, this mourning means he was simply fasting. I'm reading from the Orthodox version of the Bible, so if it's like a little bit different, just be concerned. It's a great holy mystery, as they say in the East. But I like, there's always been this conflict between East and West. I love the Orthodox because they always come at things from a mystical standpoint as opposed to an Enlightenment standpoint. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the West, but the Orthodox just, they're the ones that say, as it relates to the Eucharist, and our Roman brothers said, if you can't, we can't understand it, we have to think it, so we come up with a theology of transubstantiation. Where in the East, the Eastern side of the Catholic Church, they take one position. It's a great holy mystery. Jesus said it, don't argue with it, it is. And so they come at things that way. But anyway, so we know that the word was revealed to Daniel, and the word was true and had great power, understanding were given to him in a vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for three full weeks. And mourning simply means he was fasting. And the fast that he was on, there's all kinds of things out there now. You can go on the Daniel fast. And that simply means you can eat vegetables. So the type of fast that he was on, he was fasting from meat and from wine. I ate no desirable food. That's what meat and wine is considered. No meat, no wine. There it is. Had entered in my mouth, or did I anoint myself. He didn't take a shower until three whole weeks were fulfilled. And so, on the 24th day of the first month, I was beside the great river that is the Tigris. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man. Now, there's always been some type of debate whether this was an angel or whether this was a manifestation of Melchizedek, which is Jesus. And so, if we always will let the Bible interpret itself, if you slide back to chapter 9 and verse 21, we get the answer of who this man was. In verse 21 of chapter 9, it says, "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I saw in my vision at the beginning, flew and touched me about the time of the evening sacrifice." So there's the revelation. It says, the man clothed in fine linen and a waist girded with gold of Uhaz. The body was like beryl, and his face his appearance of lightning. His eyes were like the lamps of fire, his arms and legs like the appearance of shining brass. And the sound of his words was like the voice of a multitude. Now, you know what? That's a cool dude. Amen. Come on. Is that? "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the man with me did not see the vision. But a great, listen to this, but a great astonishment fell upon them, and they fled in fear. And here's what I believe happened, is that Daniel had this open vision, the angelic presence of Gabriel, the glory of God was in the place. And so when you have the presence and the glory of God, someone who has just flown from receiving instructions from the throne room of the Father, Amos. We're back to Amos now. Somebody who has just come from that glory, that Shekinah glory, it would leave an impression in the room, would it not? And so the astonishment that I believe happened here is that the glory of God was so thick in this place, in this angelic encounter that Daniel was having, that it so impacted those that they fled in fear. Because most times in a visitation with an angel, the angel ends up saying one thing. Don't be afraid. And so in this case, there was no word given to those men. They fled. And as I think most of us would, you know, as John in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, he says he fell down. But the angel then gave him instructions, said, don't worship me. Worship him and him alone. And so, as he's, the sound of words were like a multitude. Ask for a revelation of what a multitude sounds like. You know, I believe George Whitefield, in the Second Great Awakening, as he used to preach, he said he could preach to 30,000 people. Open street free preaching. And he didn't use one of these. So I think it was an anointing of the Holy Spirit that came from within that river of living water and took those words and magnified them to all those, because they measured the distance. And they said he could speak to 30,000 people and they all could hear him. And so that anointing came and the sound of his words was like a multitude. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the man with me did not see the vision, but with great astonishment fell upon them and they fled in fear. So I was left alone and saw the great vision, but no strength remained in me. Okay. Let's put this into modern day terms. He got slain in the spirit. So you can see the activity of the glory. You see a kingdom reality happening now. You know, the Spirit of God, the glory of God, and yet no strength remained in him. For my splendor, and here's how you know, he's in the presence of the glory of God. An angel sent straight from the throne room. He says, for my splendor was turned into corruption. He had a deep sense, and it's no different than us, as we have those times where we go before the Lord and the presence of the Lord can be so strong, or the angelic presence of God can be so strong that we just see the level of our mortality and we can sense the forgiveness that we all receive every day. And so it says that my splendor turned to my corruption. And often, you know, we think, oh, hey man, I'm doing that pretty good today. And yet here he is in the glory of God, in the presence of Gabriel, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and when I heard him, I was deeply troubled and fell on my face. God does nothing unless he reveals first to his prophets, reveals his instructions. So Daniel now has been fasting for 3 weeks, 21 days. He's in the presence of the glory of God. He's on his face and he's deeply troubled. I would say he's now in a position of humility to hear. And then, as we go through this, it's interesting that what happens. Because as Daniel's in this position now of humility, the angel does something. Suddenly, a hand touched me and raised me up on my knees. Are you hearing, church? What I believe that we're in for. We're a prophetic city, a light. So goes Alabama by so goes Selma. So goes the United States by so goes Alabama. So goes the rest of the world as goes by what God is doing in the United States of America. And it's not a trickle-down effect from Canada. It's a trickle-up. It's going to impact the nations. And so I believe, I really, really have a strong sense of my spirit, and I'm going to share a story at the end of this, by what God's doing. Suddenly a hand touched me and raised me up on my knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of desire. You see, the angel was dispatched because God saw the disposition of a heart. A one that desired and had put himself in a position of humility. And fasting and prayer, fasting with prayer, is always an expression of that. O Daniel, a man of desires, understand the words I speak to you and stand upright. And so now the angel, Gabriel, takes Daniel out of a position of worship to a position of instruction. Because now he's going to begin to reveal the instructions of the Father who had dispatched him. And he's going to begin to reveal what the word was that's true, that had great power, and that was given to him in this vision. Stand upright, for I have been sent to you. See? I have been sent to you. So when he spoke this word to me, I stood trembling. I think I'd stand trembling. Y'all, would y'all stand trembling? I would. But again, so here you go. See, this, here's the instructions of the angels. Now, this is how you know. If you're in a, you know, if you've been praying about something, you know, and we're a prophetic church, prophetic city, prophetic time. And if this happens to you, you will hear these words. Do not fear. That's how you know. Because in most cases, we'll be trembling. Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand. You see, how many times do we have, you know, we have visions and we have dreams and we have those things that we don't understand? Well, how many times do we swallow the Scripture? It says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But didn't John the Beloved rest on the heartbeat of Jesus? And didn't Jesus reveal his secrets to him? Yes, Father. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. But reveal them to me. Reveal them to me. Give me those instructions. Give me those things I need to follow. And you know what? You can do it any way you want. I only want to hear and obey. And how many times, you know, this, I'm telling you, this word could be so criticized. Oh, here he is. He's teaching the doctrine of angels. No, I'm not, for you who's listening on the tape. I'm talking about the kingdom of God and the full operation of the kingdom of God. And God being supremely God. And following the instructions says that he reveals his instructions first to his servants, the prophets. And we live in a prophetic time. So Daniel stood trembling. Do not fear, Daniel, from the first day you set your heart to understand. Oh, what a position to be in. Set our hearts to understand. Not for gnosis. Not that we may have something special. No, that we may what? Learn to obey. We're educated way beyond our level of obedience. You understand that? We're way educated, way beyond our level of obedience. So if you set your heart to understand and you humbled yourself. Saints, what we do is seen in heaven. If we could get a hold of that, there's so many times when we want to start beaking off against each other. You know, husbands and wives want to, you know, like start, you know, they're having a tood, you know, attitude. And all this stuff starts rising up. Here, the angel dispatched by God is saying, we've seen your affliction. We've seen where you set your heart. That you humbled yourself before your God and your words were heard. And listen to the final revelation, the things he's saying to Daniel. Daniel, we've seen your affliction. God's seen your heart. He called me into his chamber. Your words were heard and I came because of your words. Wow. How we should be so careful about what comes out of here. James said it well. How can cursing and blessing come out of the same mouth? You know, I'm not saying about the name it, claim it stuff. I'm not saying that. But my father was a, God bless him, God rest his soul. He taught me really on early. He said, Mark, unless you got something really important to say, don't say anything. And you know what? It's so important as the church, as we start moving and God starts the revelation and God and we really start moving in the prophetic. You think we're moving now? We ain't seen nothing yet. And so I think it's like training us up. Just as God, you know, as I was preparing this and, you know, even now as I'm beginning to speak to God's reminding me of those instances where He has come and His instruction has come through other people. But it's also come through angelic presence. And it's also come through God, the Holy Spirit. And so how important it is, because of His words, He came. And yet He touched him. Sacramental. Wow. Now the prince of Persia, now he begins to tell him his story. What took him so long? 21 days Daniel fasted. But the prince of Persia, the kingdom withstood me 21 days. This is Gabriel telling him. And what did God do? He said, okay, then what did he say? What did God say? Okay, he said, okay, what, you know what, Gabriel, you're just like a, you messed up, man. You can't even make it through the king of Persia. So you know what? Holy Spirit, just open it up and let it go. No. What happened? Michael was sent. See, God was on a mission. He was revealing to us what we can anticipate in moving in the prophetic and the visions and the words that need to come for the summer revival to keep moving, keep stepping in this baby called will to keep growing. And that You know, once he starts in a path, God's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. And I think just as an emphasis, behold, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me. So now we're in a holy time of kicking butt. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the ruler of the Persian kingdom. Now you talk about a big demon. It took two archangels to kick his butt. Now, good news is, they're the ultimate loser. They always lose. And the only authority that they have is the authority that we give them. By walking in fear, anxiety, worry, all the language that never existed when the kingdom of God was established in the Garden of Eden. Oh Lord, let my heart so be that place, Eden, where you can walk and commune with me. And may I never use the words of a fallen language in your presence. I believe. I trust you. I acknowledge you. I adore you. I love you. I so set my heart. As opposed to, I'm really worried about this, Lord. What shall I do? Please, Lord, help me. Whereas we've already won. Because we're fighting from the winning side. So just as I believe, as a demonstration of the power of the kingdom of God, the Father said, Michael, go. And so the two of them withstood and eventually defeated this Persian demonic demon. And Persia, modern day Persia, is, you know where it is? Anybody know where it is? Iran. Syria. All that area. And Lord forgive me that President Obama could ever think to go kick butt with bombs. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and power. You know what happened? You know why now they've got a brokered deal? Is because God is raising up a corporate Daniel. Us. And our words have power to dismantle the king of Persia. And there is enough anointed prayer and groanings in the Spirit, and the heavenly angels, the archangels, were released, and they went and kicked butt with the Persian demonic realm once again, and guess what? We win! Hallelujah. We win. We always win. I have come to make you understand. Whoa! Revelation! The angel of revelation has just showed up. I've come to make you understand. The word was true. Great power. Was great power exhibited in delivering this word? Amen. Can you imagine the battle? Ask God for a vision. Only a little one, because it'll make you tremble. What was going on? Understanding were given to him. Verse 14, now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the last days, for the vision is yet for the days to come. We live in the days of Elisha. You see, revelation's going to come for the days that are about to happen. The days before us. Do we know everything now? No way. Not even close. But God will reveal His instructions. And if He tells you, and you have an angelic encounter, and He tells you to go out to the Edmund Pettus Bridge, jump up and down 30 times, I got one suggestion for you. Go do it! Not that the other prophets didn't have to worry about anything. Isaiah had to walk around naked for 3 years. You imagine him coming home to his wife, "Hi, honey." And he doesn't have a stitch of clothes on. She'd go get the broom, pick up the phone, call the nearest psych ward. What kind of relationship did he have? He walked around naked for 3 years. Jeremiah, cook everything. Everything you have, cook it over dung. And after you've done that, I want you to lay on your right side for like 3 years. And when you're done on that side, I want you to flip over, eat more stuff off of dung, and lay another 3 years on your other side. Whoa. We are educated way beyond our level of obedience. Moi aussi, as they say en français. Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to the people in the last days. For the vision is for days yet to come. And we are in a time, Church of God. We are in a time, City of Selma. We're in a time of revival, but there's days yet to come. And if you think for one moment that the King of Persia does not want to crush what is going on, this baby will, that wants to have a Herod anointing and try and kill it, I'll guarantee you that is the direction given by Satan, and it is the direction, the instructions to try and kill this baby. And it will come. It will come through fear, it will come through dismay, it will come through arguments, it will come through pettiness, it will come through every word that you can think of that doesn't belong in kingdom language. There's a prophetic word. And so in this time, in these days yet to come, let God be God. And we really need to pray. And I, you know what? This is like, moi aussi. Me too. How we always jam them up. We jam up the Holy Spirit. We jam up the angelic visitations. We jam things up because you know what? It's too much. Well, you know what God's saying? That's okay. You know, we jam up the Holy Spirit because we go to these conferences and we go to places where the Spirit's really moving and people are doing funky things. So what? Somebody wants to roar in my presence? Okay. I'm sure I'll find out if it's God or not. When I hear the person roaring going, "Praise Jesus," they've just passed the test. You can't confess the word Jesus without the Spirit of God. And so we're in a time of revelation. We're in a time of expectation. We're in a time of days yet to come. The Selma revival has days yet to come. And I believe, and I'm speaking prophetically, is that these angelic counters, you can expect them. And they're going to be mocked and ridiculed, and people will try and push them aside, just as they did in every revival that's happened from the 1600s. Marginalized. 35 books written against the Second Great Awakening. 35. People took time to write 35 books to marginalize what God was doing. So we're in the days of Elisha. God is raising up a corporate Daniel. And as a corporate Daniel, that's us, the Church of the Living God. There are days yet to come. And the revelation of God to His prophets. Let us, let God be God. Now I'm going to tell you what happened. And this is my own personal experience. And please just understand it's my own personal encounter with the living God. I was at the Voice of the Apostles with a bunch of folks from Blue Jean. Bishop was there. And Randy Clark was, who was greatly impacted by the Toronto Blessing back in 1994. Very anointed man. So we did a reverse fire tunnel. So reverse fire tunnel is just simply you line up on both sides. And rather than we all walking through the fire tunnel, the one who is doing the acts for more, through the door of four, for more. And so he starts, and he starts walking. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So we're walking through. And he begins to walk through. And he's like next to the person, I'm next in line to get it. And already I'm doing the weaves. Because the presence of God was so powerful. But then what happened to me was my arms started to burn. Like they were on fire. It just went up my arms. And I'm going, oh, Lord, what is this? He says, you wait. And then my legs started to burn until I was completely engulfed in fire. Everything, I was just on fire. And so then Randy Clark steps in front of me, touches my forehead, and I fall like a ton of bricks to the ground. And so then I get up off the floor like 20 minutes later. I tried to before that, but I couldn't because I had no strength in me. And so it was during that time, it was just a really peaceful time. I didn't really say anything, it just wasn't anything revelatory until later. Here I am. I'd gone to visit my friends down in Blue Jean one Sunday morning. So I'm standing there just, hanging out, worshiping the Lord. My arms started to burn. My legs started to burn. And the Holy Spirit spoke one word to me. Raphael is here. Now, Raphael is another archangel. It carries healing in his wings. And so I was like, oh man, Lord, you want? No, just like, okay, I'll go tell Bob. He can tell it. So I go over to Bob Armstrong and tell him what happened, what's going on. And so he looks at me, he says, well, you go on the stage and tell everybody. Thanks, God. You're so cool. So I go up and I simply recounted what is happening. And that that God wanted to do healing that day. And I said, and then he spoke, he said, I just want everybody to touch the person next to you. And we prayed a simple prayer. Now I heard afterwards. And it's amazing, so it's God because you hear from like 3, 4, 5, 6 people. And then one of the leaders said that at that moment he wanted to stand up and scream hallelujah. So it's God. But here's what I have come to understand. The gift that I never even dreamed of, the gift that I didn't even know existed, but it's a kingdom thing. It's a kingdom gift. I now know when my arms begin to burn and my legs begin to burn, there's angelic presence. And I can tell you right now, church, my arms are on fire. And so why is God doing that? Because I believe it's something of the sovereignty of God that He is just in a revival. You can just expect it. Daniel was in a revival. Because Israel had gone astray. And he'd set himself in a position for instruction to come. And it says at the end, it says it's verse 18, then again the one like the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. So I believe when we have these encounters, as they will get touched, and we will have no strength with this, we're in the glory of God. Glory in Hebrew means weight. It's heavy. He says, but the man touched me. Remember, he touched him and he got weak. He touched him and strengthened me. He said to me, O man of desires, peace to you. Be courageous and strong. So when he spoke with me, I was strengthened. And said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And then Gabriel gives a revelation of the kingdom business. But now I will return to the war against the ruler of the Persians. The ongoing battle being fought for us every day. In victory. How great is our God. How great is the King whom we serve. How vast is the kingdom of God. How powerful. How true. And I pray in the name of Jesus that your hearts be strengthened. And that your understanding be encouraged. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.